This morning, we'd like you to turn with us to the seventh verse of chapter 1 of the book of Nahum, as Nahum declares three important truths concerning the Lord. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. The prophecies of Nahum are directed against the great city of Nineveh. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. A few years over 100, the prophet Jonah had come to Nineveh and had warned the people of God's impending doom and judgment. He told them that in 40 days they would be destroyed because of their sin and their wickedness. But the people believed the prophecies of Jonah. They repented. They turned to the Lord. There was a tremendous spiritual awakening and a spiritual revival so that the judgment against Nineveh was postponed. Now a little over 100 years has gone by, and another prophet of God, Nahum, is warning Nineveh of the destruction that is awaiting them because they have reverted back to their old practices. They've gone back to the path of sin. The spiritual revival that had brought their salvation was long gone. And now, having reverted back to their old ways, again they are ripe for the judgment of God. And Nahum describes this judgment of God that is going to come against Nineveh. In verse 6, he said, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him." And as he is talking about this great judgment, and in the midst of the fierceness of God's anger and wrath, he declares suddenly, just out of the blue, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him." You know, there are many times in life when we are going through difficult experiences, going through deep valleys, experiencing great sorrow, and we are prone at that time to question the goodness of God. It seems like whenever we have a painful experience, whenever there is a great disappointment, Satan is always there to sort of whisper, "What good can possibly come out of this? If God were really good, would he allow this to happen to you?" And he uses these unfortunate, painful times in our lives to cause us to challenge the goodness of God. In the psalm that we read, Psalm 73, Asaph began that psalm with an affirmation of God's goodness. "Truly, the Lord is good." But he said, "As for me, I almost stumbled. I mean, I was going down. I had a problem. I was looking around and I saw the wicked, and it seemed like they don't have any trouble. They don't have problems like I'm having." The psalmist was having heart problems. He was weak. He was not really well, and it seemed like he was just every day facing new problems. And he said, it almost tripped me up. I just didn't understand why here I am trying to live a good life, trying to do the right thing, and I seem to have all these problems while the wicked people don't seem to have any problems. Now, I know God's good, but I can't handle this. And he said, when I sought to understand it, it was just too painful for me. It would appear that it doesn't pay to try and do the right thing. It doesn't pay to serve God. He said, and trying to understand it was just too painful until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then he got a new perspective. He saw the end of the life of wickedness. He saw things now in their eternal perspective. And that's where we run into our problems, because we are always measuring the experience by how it affects me today and how it affects me this week. And I don't know, it's so hard, you know. If God is good, then why? And it's because I'm measuring it by the immediate effects that it's having on me. The Bible says, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God doesn't say that he's going to keep you immune from all pain, from all problems, that you commit your life to Jesus and it's just going to be so rosy and so nice. And he doesn't promise that at all. He does promise that he will be with you in every circumstance. And that he will see you through, that he will be your strength, that he will be your help. But he will take you through the trial, not around it. And you will discover the faithfulness of God and the help of God in the midst of the trial. Now, Paul the Apostle went through things that you will probably never have to go through in your whole lifetime. He talked about being beaten, about being stoned, imprisoned, shipwrecked, and finally beheaded. But then he said, the present suffering is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. You see, he measured it in the eternal perspective. This present suffering, it's not worthy to even compare with the glory that's going to be revealed. And then he said, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Pain, suffering, sorrow, tribulation, trials, disappointments. These are the times in our lives when our faith is tested and challenged. Is God really good? Why does God allow his children to experience pain? Why does God allow you to suffer? We know that he does allow his chosen to go through affliction. We look at Joseph when he was in his late teens, early 20s, just a young fellow. He had had a rough life. His older brothers hated him. They were jealous of him. They were abusive to him. And one day they even conspired to kill him, but then decided to sell him as a slave to a caravan headed to Egypt. Betrayed by his own brothers. As he was on his way to Egypt, he was there calling out to them, saying, oh, come on, guys, you know, be real. Don't do this. And they were just laughing as he was bound and weeping on his way to Egypt. He said, later when his brothers were feeling guilty, they said, you know, we should have listened to our brother Joseph when we saw his tears and all. We should have hearkened. You know, this has come on to us because of our cruelty. When he was in Egypt, he was falsely accused of attempted rape. It was a lie. But yet he was put into prison. Here's a young man now away from home in a foreign country. It's like being in jail in Mexico. Who's going to help you? Who can help you? And it seems like his family doesn't even know he's there. As far as his dad is concerned, he thinks he's dead. There's no one on the outside to help. Finally, the butler of the king is thrown into prison, has a dream, shares it with Joseph. He says, that's good news, man. In 3 days, you're going to be restored to your position. You'll be carrying the wine to the king again. But when you do, remember me. Will you tell the Pharaoh about me? You know, I'm in here on bogus charges. You know, see if you can help me. And in 3 days, the butler was released, but he forgot all about Joseph. And for 2 more years, he languishes there in the Egyptian prison. Until finally, the Pharaoh had a dream no one could interpret. And he said, oh, remember, there's a guy in prison, Pharaoh. He can tell you. Oh, but now we begin to see the story unfold. Joseph interprets the dream for the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said, I want to make you number 2 man in all the country. You'll be immediately under me. You answer to no one but me. And suddenly he is elevated. And we say, oh my, isn't God good? But any time along in that story, before you got to the elevating of Joseph, you would have questioned the goodness of God. And Joseph had reason to say, well, if God was good, why am I in this jail? Why am I forgotten? You know, and why these false charges? And why my brothers? And all. But you see the full story, and you see that God's hand was even in those difficult circumstances. Look at Job. He lost everything, his possessions, his family, his health, his friends. And in the midst of all of it, he could have well challenged the goodness of God. But instead, he said, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are given the list of those men of faith in the Old Testament. And finally, the author says, there are so many, I can't really tell you all of them. But they had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, they were in bonds and imprisoned. They were stoned. They sawed them in two. They were tempted. They were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented. These are men of faith. These are men of God. Some of the heroes of faith. The writer said, of whom the world wasn't worthy. They were really too good to be living on this world, but they wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and in the caves of the earth. But if you should ask any of them concerning God, they would affirm, oh, God is good. And God's goodness is often manifested in our hours of greatest trial. We discover things about the nature of God and the character of God when going through pain and heartache. Secondly, Nahum said he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, you can all of you expect days of trouble. Whether you be a Christian or not, you're going to have trouble. That's just a part of life. Man is born unto trouble. And you can't escape it. We are living in a world that is in rebellion against God. a world that has rejected the laws of God. And as a result, we are living in a world that is rapidly going down. It is a world filled with chaos. Our society is crumbling. There is lawlessness and a general breakdown of morals. And in this lawless society, where men are disregarding the laws, living godless lives, there's only one place that you can turn and find safety. And that is in the Lord. He is a stronghold in the days of trouble. It is interesting that travelers are being warned all the time of the dangers of traveling now to a foreign country. Before we landed in Colombia, they were telling us on the airplane, now be careful, if you drive here in Colombia, don't make arm signals with your arm out the window if you're wearing a watch. Because they'll come right up and rip the watch off your wrist while your arm is out there signaling. And they warned us about the pickpockets. This is the place where they train pickpockets for all over the world. So, you know, when you get in the airport and you know, you go in and you just, you know, and don't get near me, you know, and you just, you're almost paranoid. And now they're warning, if you're traveling to Europe, how dangerous it is for tourists. Just this week, there was a bulletin about driving down to the Riviera. It's dangerous. There's been 10 highway hijackings, and so you don't want to drive at night and all. And then they tell you, don't even wear fake jewelry anymore. For a long time, they said, don't wear anything. You know, don't wear jewelry. You know, don't take your expensive stuff because you're apt to come home without it. And so wear fake jewelry. Now they're saying don't wear fake jewelry because those thieves are too dumb. They don't know it's fake and they might, you know, assault you just to get your fake jewelry. It's dangerous. Where in the world can you go and be safe? They tell the people the same thing when they're ready to land at LAX. They say, now be careful, you know, dangerous place or pickpockets and watch your purse and all this. It's a rotten world. Where is a place of safety? The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. There's only one real place of safety, and that's in our Lord. He is a stronghold. The word hold is fortress. God is a strong fortress. And you can flee into that fortress and just be protected and be safe. William Cushing wrote, O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. In the calm of the noontide, in sorrow's lone hour, in times when temptations cast o'er me their power, in the tempest of life on its wide, raging sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict when pressed by the foe have I fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. Hiding in thee, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. When you're in trouble, where do you turn? Do you turn within for that mystic power of self? Do you live by some motto, such as, What you can't cure, you must endure. Or just grin and bear it. Or face it like a man. Or, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. The little red engine. It used to be, when I was a child, I heard people saying, every day and in every way, the world is getting better and better and better. Think yourself into a beautiful world. And my grandmother used to say, Charles, son, every day and in every way, the world is getting better and better and better. And I thought, Grandma, you don't know my friends. And as I look at the world today, every day and in every way, it seems to me the world is getting worse. When you're in real trouble, mottos aren't much help. But where do you turn? To a friend? To a family member? Have you ever turned to a friend and discovered that he has worse problems than you? You end up counseling and trying to help him? Heard of a fellow on the train, and he sat down next to this man who had a couple of kids with him. And he started to tell the fellow all of his troubles, just poured out his heart to him. And after he was through, the fellow said, well, you think you have problems? He said, my wife is in a bag up in the baggage car. She's dead. We're taking her to be buried. He said, my six-year-old here has chicken pox. He said, the two-year-old just ate our tickets. And he said, beside that, we're on the wrong train. You think you've got problems? Where to turn? The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. You need to learn to just turn to Him. And then he tells us that he knows those who trust in him. Jesus tells us that a day is coming when many are going to come to him and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done marvelous works? And Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. But the Lord knows those who put their trust in him. And if you put your trust in the Lord, he will never say to you, I never knew you. It's interesting how many people think that they know the Lord. They have certain ideas and concepts about God. But the God that they know is not really the God that I know. The God that I know is the one that has revealed himself here in this holy book, the Bible. It is God's revelation of himself. But you see, there are people who say, well, I have problems with some of these things that the Bible says about God. I have problems with God punishing sin. I have a problem with God demanding holiness. And so there are certain scriptures that, oh, this is the God I believe in, yes. He's good and he's merciful and he's gracious. Wrath? Oh, no. Judgment? No. And so it's like going to a soup exchange, I like that, but I don't want any of that, you know. And you sort of create your own plate or your own God by what sort of pleases you. But he is all that the Bible says him to be. And he knows those who put their trust in him. Brings the question, is your trust in the Lord today? Can it be said of you, now there is a person who really trusts the Lord? I'm amazed at the things that people will put their trust in. The Bible says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will put our trust in the Lord our God. The New Testament warns about putting your trust in the uncertainty of riches. Isaiah warned the people not to trust in Egypt, in their chariots and in their horses. David said, I will not trust in my bow or in my sword to save me. And yet, how many people are putting their trust in things that can be a disappointment, that can let them down? Put your trust in the Lord today, for the Lord knows those that put their trust in him. He will be to you a stronghold, a place of refuge, protection, safety, strength. He is good. And when his purposes are complete, when you see the full story, when you weigh the things in the light of eternity, you will realize how good he is. There have been times when in my life I was going through certain experiences, difficult times, hard times, where I wondered, God, if you are good, how come? But now, with the advantage of hindsight, now seeing the plan of God revealed, now seeing what he intended and what he was purposing in those experiences, I can truthfully testify, God is good.